This is the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, the only local sports talk show in the Mid-Willamette Valley. Now, here's Jeff Morgan and Hunter Newton on 1430 KYKN.
Well, what a great afternoon. Holy smokes. Got a little chilly, but the sunshine, Hunter, unbelievable this week.
Yeah, no, it's been so great to be out in the sun. Being in the shade or out early before the sun's up, that's not fun. But
well, the sun doesn't even come up until after 7 o'clock, so I think you're okay. But I'm ready for some sunshine to start happening a little bit earlier in the day. And I think, when is, isn't it kind of like the second weekend of March where you go back, is it we go back to daylight savings or we go back to normal time?
Whatever it is. It's spring forward, whatever it is.
Yeah, anyways. It doesn't matter. I think the rain's coming back a little bit next week. So enjoy today. Enjoy the weekend. It is going to be a little chilly, but this segment being brought to you by Mercedes Sprinter Van of Salem. Oh, Brian and Eli down there. They've got quite a few. And if you need something for work, for play, for your fam, it's a great rig.
Well, right now is the right time because, you know, we've got this dry stretch. We're, you know, enjoying the nice warm weather during those few hours of daylight we're getting, but you have that feeling it's going to come in with a vengeance in January, February, maybe even to March, where we're going to get some massive rains and snow at the mountain levels.
You know, interestingly enough, I had the city of Salem come down around my neighborhood and throw down de-icer on the street. If you see the little streaks mm-hmm. down there, I don't think you have to worry about it, living up in the hills, kind of need to, that's nice that they do that. So to avoid the slip and slides.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It's you get that layer of frost. I've had plenty of windows to scrape over the last couple of days when, you know, you get out to leave in the morning. But other than that, it's not too, not horrendous out there. It's chilly. It's crisp. My dogs don't like being out in the cold for very long, but, you know, they like being out in the sunshine. It's great this time of year. Speaking of which, last Monday, we wrapped up the college football season for the foreseeable future.
You know, it was actually a very good game to watch. It was fun. But, you know, I'm going to be honest. There were not a lot of penalties called on either side of the ball. And there was one team that really, they were playing pretty nasty. And that was Cristobal's team, the Miami Hurricanes. And they came in like a hurricane. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of cheap shots, a lot of holes all over the place. And you know what? I'm all for letting the players play the game, but I think it got a little bit out of control. I really think that Mendoza, quarterback for Indiana, a couple of times he really could have been hurt. I mean, there was one where a defensive tackle came in, went low on him. That's always a penalty. Flipped him up in the air. He's lucky he didn't break both of his knees.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. I'm sitting here going, when you look at these two teams as they worked their way to this game, Indiana was just absolute precision and on, and in the talent level and the experience level, you sat there and go, the only way this team is going to stumble is if they make mistakes. Miami, on the other hand, squeaking out a couple of tight wins and just, you know, and it's nothing, it's the way college football works. They didn't have the talent level that Indiana had. And that level of perfection. And even watching Indiana's coach throughout these games, the guy's expression never changed. Everything was as business can be up until that final buzzer, and they won it. And then all of a sudden you see a smile creep across his face.
It's very stoic.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great coach, military-esque. You know, he keeps his guys in line. There's no doubt about that. He's got a system. He's put it in place. And if he can get another quarterback out of the portal, because Mendoza's, I mean, he's going pro. And well, he should.
And his brother is transferred out.
That's right. He's in the portal now.
Yep.
Who knows what happened there? You never know what goes on behind the scenes. But, you know, Miami is back to its nastiness. Uh-huh. I mean, it really is.
Well,
and Cristobal brought it back. He played for Miami mm-hmm. back in the day, and so he's bringing all that back. And, you know, just looking at him on the sidelines, he's gotten way more intense
yeah.
than he has in the past. And I think that resonates to his players. And so they got after it. You have to give him credit.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. I'm sitting here going, you know, on paper, Indiana should have waltzed this game. I mean, just walked all over Miami. Miami put up a great fight, But I think it's why they got a little chippy and a little bit, you know, some potential cheap shots in, because that's how they needed to kind of even the playing field to a certain extent.
Yeah, I agree with you. And so Fletcher Jr., the running back from Miami, that kid's a stud. If he can keep his head on straight, I heard that he threw a punch after the game. I didn't see it, to Walker, who's one of the defensive linemen. I'm sure some things were said.
Oh, yeah.
They're popping off, and it is what it is. But the composure for Miami is absent, and that comes straight from the head coach. But the receiver, Tony, I can't remember his first name, but that kid is an absolute athlete. Mm-hmm. And both of those players are coming back. And so they're going to be good next year. I mean, Carson Beck, I mean, he played a good game until the last play, throwing the interception, which he never should have thrown that ball into double coverage. But the cornerback made a really good play on that, intercepted the ball, and that was the ball game. But they had a chance to win.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I just sit here and go, you know, the way this college football playoff season wore out, I knew there'd be a lot of discussion after three of the top four teams got eliminated. Those discussions have been not shelved, but they're allowing more time to talk about it, because the announcement came out earlier today that next year they will be a 12-team playoff format as well. And a lot of it is, right now the SEC is wanting a 16 team. And the Big Ten is wanting actually a 24-team playoff. So they've said, we can agree to the 16 teams, but at 3 years after the 16 teams, we want to go up to 24. And I go, that almost waters it down too much.
That's basically your top 25 is going to be getting into a playoff. And really, that's not conducive. You're going to have like the JMUs. You know, they're still going to get blown out. Well, it's all those teams that get up there from the lower conferences that just aren't going to have a chance. Maybe they'll squeak one out, but they're never going to have a home game.
Yeah.
Never.
Well, they need to make an adjustment in order to actually give advantage to the teams that get the bye. Because a football player's body, a football team's system, a bye means you're not playing one weekend and you're playing the next. Well, realistically, with the way the playoff format is right now, every team is getting a bye, because the bottom seeds are playing 2 weeks after the conference championship games. And then you go another 2 weeks. So now these teams that play in their conference championship, these top four teams, aren't playing for 25 to 30 days, which is way too long, because you cannot simulate game play.
And that's evident. Indiana was the only one to buck that trend. I mean, 7 out of the last 8 who have gotten byes have lost.
Yep. And of course, after year one, they wanted to blame it on the fact that conference champions got those byes no matter where they stood in it. Well, that got debunked this year, because they were actually the top four teams. So I suspected there's changes, and they will be coming, but not for next year.
You know, I think that they need to get rid of the championship games. I mean, the champion of each conference needs to be put in tiebreakers. Who won your regular season?
Mm-hmm.
Period. End of story. The championship, forget about it. It doesn't matter anymore.
And see, that's where I would come down hard on the idea of a 24-team playoff format. Because right now, you know, you're playing all the way. I mean, they're playing almost 20 games in the year. I mean, that's literally what the NFL is playing.
It was 16. I mean, Indiana was 16-0.
Yeah. So, but I mean, that's the trick is to add another round of playoffs, which is what going to 24 would be, a full round. You almost need to definitely eliminate conference championship games. And what's the point if 24 teams are getting into the playoffs? You know?
Well, I think that 24... It really wouldn't even matter. 16, 24, that just means nobody's getting a bye when you have 24 teams.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
But 16, the top four is still going to get a bye. And that leads you to, okay, you can't wait 3 weeks before you play your next game. That's not right. It's not fair to the team that's having the bye, even though they're the best. They earned that, but did they really?
Well, see, and that's where it really comes down, is if you go up to 24, I see you eliminate conference championship games. And then you're giving an actual bye. Instead of conference championship, now you're playing virtually round one, which would be what, number 5 through number 24 would be playing?
Yes.
So now your number ones don't come in for another, you know, so they actually have a single bye week rather than a 2 week bye.
I think that's what Dan Lanning kind of proposed as well, because you've got, I mean, you've got to have, he wants the championship game to be done on, you know, January 1st. And that's never going to happen.
No,
I think that that's going to be probably your semis that happen in two of the bowl games. Then you have your championship maybe on the 10th. Like it's always been with the BCS back in the day.
Well, and the other challenge is the way it used to be, the NFL and college football had kind of an unwritten agreement where college football owned Saturdays and January 1st and these other few days. And the NFL owned Sundays, Mondays, and real Thursdays. That's kind of gone the wayside now where all of a sudden when college regular season wraps up, the NFL starts playing games on Saturdays.
True.
And now if you're talking about, you know, January 1st, if it didn't fall on a Sunday, there's way too much money to be made for the college football to say we're only going to have one game and that's our championship game on the first.
Well, I think typically when January 1st rolls on a Sunday, I believe they play the games on the second, which is a Monday. But here's the thing. I actually like the system the way that it is right now, and I'm being selfish here, because it makes winter go by so much faster. Because when you've got college football more than halfway through January, and then you've got the NFL playoffs, Super Bowl, what? It's the first week of February. And I think that's fantastic because then you've only got a month until you got March. And technically speaking, that's the beginning almost of spring. And so mentally, it's great.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I'm not saying that the calendar way it's working out is wonderful. It's we need to figure out how to provide the advantages that we claim we're providing for the teams in the top of the bracket.
Well, guess what, Hunter? It's an imperfect world, and it's an imperfect system, and it's always going to be that. And it's never going to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's going to get offended at some point.
Well, I still think maybe my patented idea is the best. You go to 16 teams, so no one's got a month off of play, and then you throw the whole bowl structure out the window and you say, here's our NIT equivalent of the next 16 teams. Now you have the top 32 teams are playing in tournaments and actually generating interest in college football.
And yeah, you can have those things playing every day of the stinking week in December. I mean, it's football all day, every day.
The kicker is I actually did the call the pick'em for bowl season, and I didn't even hit 500. And I'm sitting here going, you know why that is? Well, because a lot of these teams that are playing in bowl games that no one cares about are either completely unknown teams or they're a good team that none of their actual star players are playing in because they've all joined the portal or anything else.
Well, plus you've got teams that are like 4-8 playing in a bowl game. Yeah, it's just so dumb anymore.
And I just, you know, but let's go ahead and take a break because I want to talk a little bit about the Alberto Mendoza transferring from Indiana.
Okay,
because I think there's some... It's a precursor of the way college football is going to be long term. All right. So you're listening to the Sports Ticket on 1430 KYKN. Jeff and I will be right back.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter on 1430 KYKN.
Welcome back. It is Friday night once again. And here we are in the studio, KYKN. And it's a perfect time to get a pizza, don't you think, Hunter?
Well, our lights are on. It is our Friday night lights, right?
Yes, it is. Oh, my gosh. Domino's Pizza, you can get a three-topping for still $7.99. And anything you order online, 20% off. Boom.
Boom. And I'm guessing that Alberto Mendoza is getting more than a pizza to transfer from Indiana. But I think, so we talked about it a little bit, that you know, his older brother just won national championships. Now, in Indiana history, especially for a guy, and you realize Fernando Mendoza was a two-star athlete coming out of high school. His parents are both Miami alumni. He wanted to play for Miami. That was like his life dream. Miami offered him nothing. So he went to Cal and now transferred to Indiana, and now he is a stud. His brother joined him at Indiana, and he was a freshman this year. Played in a few games. I think he had about 280 yards passing, 5 touchdowns and an interception, playing the backup role, stepped in when Fernando got hurt a little bit. So I'm kind of going, here's a kid. Now, your brother is folklore for Indiana history, and you're not stepping up to take over that job. You're now transferring to Georgia Tech.
That's interesting. I would have thought Cristobal would have come calling.
Well, so here's where I see things going right now, and this is the future of college football at a Big you know, a Power Four conference level. Freshman, sophomore quarterbacks, they might come in and spend a year at a school like Indiana. Alberto just spent a year in Indiana in his brother's shadow. But a school like Indiana is going to now want to replace Fernando with a quarterback that has been playing for 2 or 3 years at this level. Alberto is not. He's been a backup and a decent backup, but he hasn't been getting every down reps at a Power Four conference level. And I think this is where the future of college football lies, where a prospect coming out of high school may sit on the bench for a year and then is going to need to transfer somewhere where they're going to have the opportunity to get the reps in order to transfer to a bigger school that has national title aspirations, because we're seeing that play out on a regular basis now.
Yeah, I think that quarterbacks used to go into schools and they would stay. Mm-hmm. And so now, just due to the fact that people are vying for quarterbacks that are experienced, because you have to have that. Mm-hmm. And if you've got guys transferring in and out, you're not going to have anybody there that you've actually brought up into your system ready to go out and play. So you have to do that, which is, I don't know. I don't know if it's bad or if it's good.
Well, it's this thing. I mean, it used to be a freshman quarterback would come out of high school, commit to a college, spend 1, 2, maybe even 3 years backing up, learning the system, knowing, understanding what this school, what this program is all about, and then have that opportunity to step up and take over for the outgoing senior. Okay. Well, now, and we've seen it, there's a few. I mean, the Sam Heward at Washington, five-star recruit coming out of high school. His uncle and his father both played for the University of Washington. He sat on their bench for 2 years. His opportunity showed up. Here it is. Here's your chance now. And they brought in Michael Penix Jr. Mm-hmm. And I go, that's the way it is going to be now. They're going to value, they've already begun. They have started valuing experience over knowledge of the program. So virtually a young college football quarterback, if they want to play every down, they're starting at a lower tier school, a group of five level school at best, working up and getting the reps and showing these Power Four conference schools that, hey, I can play at this level, bring me in.
Well, here's the other issue, Hunter. We've got coaching carousels all over the place. Mm-hmm. And so really that lore that you're talking about with each university, you know, learning the rivalries, this, that, and the other thing, that doesn't even exist anymore. It's win or go home. How many coaches got fired after the end of the season, or who left, like Lane Kiffin? What an idiot. I mean, going to your Ole Miss, they could have won it all. And he leaves for LSU. Are you kidding me? What a bonehead.
Well, that's the other part that's factoring in this is every coach brings their own mentality and their own game plans. And we're seeing more coaching turnover. We're no longer having those guys that coach at one school for 25 or 30 years. It is always, I'm here to prove myself to move up to the next opportunity.
It's what have you done for me lately? That's the mentality that we have.
I mean,
that's our society, to be honest with you.
Well, we see it at every level. I mean, look at the NFL right now. 10 coaching changes after this season, including the McDermott for the Bills, who made it to the
playoffs. I don't understand that, Hunter. I don't.
Harbaugh and Tomlin of the Steelers, who were the two longest tenured coaches left in the NFL, are now out the door.
Well, Tomlin, he just retired.
Well.
But did he take another job somewhere? Is he going to the Raiders?
He hasn't yet, but the rumors are swirling around him. I don't think he's retired. I think he's going to find somewhere that maybe is not so wishy-washy, because the last couple of years for the Steelers, you know, the fan base has been calling for his head 1 week and praising him as the greatest thing ever the next.
I got to be honest, Harbaugh in New York for the Giants, he's going to become a juggernaut. I mean, the Ravens, I think he just needed a change. Sometimes you just need that. Mm-hmm. He's been there, I don't know how many years he's been with Baltimore.
13 or 14
that's
years.
That's too long. I mean, go do something else. Take a break. Get in the broadcast booth. Do something.
Well, the thing about the Giants from what you kind of hear is it's not a coaching issue as much as it is a upper management interference issue. You know, Harbaugh is the kind of coach who's going to sit here and say, get out of my locker room if you're not bringing the message I want you to bring. But it is New York, where you look at the history of New York sports, and if a guy like George Steinbrenner you know, very hands-on, you know, the Coens in the Mets, very hands-on. I mean, New York is a place where there's such high expectations. Ownership is meddling in everything you do.
Yeah, New York is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to tell you why. You can figure that out on your own. But yeah, we'll see if New York's going to be the same old New York after a couple of years.
That's right. Well, and that's the thing is the Giants have been that team. And you go back to the Eli Manning year where 1 year they're horrendous. The next year they're Super Bowl champions. I mean, that's the New York swing. I mean, you look at the Yankees are that way. The Mets are that way. You know, the Yankees have done the best job of instilling that long term. But at the same time, when they fall hard.
Absolutely.
And when they win big.
Well, that's the way it rolls. I mean, that's why you got to give somebody maybe a little bit of a break if you have one bad season. But Pete Carroll had a horrible season, and he needed to go.
Yeah.
I think his time is up. It's passed him by, and it's okay.
Well, the game has changed over the years. And for Pete Carroll, and you saw it during the end of his Seahawks tenure, he wasn't adapting to the way things were going. It was like, this is what won it for us a few years back, so we're just going to keep doing that. And being a lifelong Seattle sports fan, that was the Seattle mentality for a long time across the board. It's why the Mariners, you know, missed the playoffs for 20 years in a row. Because it's like, we're going to rely on what somebody did for us 5 years ago instead of what's happening today. But obviously, it wasn't just the Seahawks. Now it was Pete Carroll as well.
It is what it is. We're going to dive into some more NFL.
Well,
but
before we go out, let's take a break. Coming up on the bottom half of this break, Mike Allegor had a chance to talk to Jerry Allen. And I'll tell you what, listen to this interview. It's very entertaining. And I think right now Jerry is hoping there's another game this Saturday because Mike really got him hyped up and excited for this
Jerry
one.
Gets fired up and then he starts to cry.
Yeah.
It's so funny. He's so passionate about the Ducks. It'll be a good one.
Yeah, so enjoy this interview. You're listening to Sports Ticket on 1430 KYKN.
The Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor with Jeff and Hunter, continues on 1430 KYKN.
And a special segment here on Friday Sports Ticket. Hi, Mike Allegor with you here. And on the other end of the line is a man you know very well. But before that, he is so well-loved that Color Tile wants to sponsor this segment. And we appreciate Dave and everybody down at Color Tile. Jerry Allen, the longtime voice of the Oregon Ducks with us here. Not fresh off of, but over a week removed or 2 weeks removed from all of the hustle and bustle that is college football playoffs. Right to the semis and losing. And I'll tell you what, Jerry, this has been as exciting a year, I think, almost as when they played for the title.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, when you get to the semis, got to the Peach Bowl for the first time. We've never played in a Peach Bowl, never played in an Orange Bowl. So there were a lot of aspects of the season, Mike, that were memorable. I mean, really great. I mean, you know, the sad thing is that at the end of the year, only one team walks off of that field really thrilled and happy and celebrating. Mm-hmm. Everybody else who was in the playoffs feels the same way, whether you lost in the second round or in the championship game. It's the same emotion. But too many good memories to not look back and go, wow, that was a special season. The last few years really have been special.
I'll tell you what, you know, you lose to Indiana, the eventual national champion, for the second time this year. The final was pretty convincing, 56-22, but you took care of Texas Tech to get there, James Madison as well, and you had some great games leading up to that finality. It was going to be one of those games where it was either going to be close, I thought, or not close. What were your take?
Well, you like to go into every game, and at this point in the season, you get the latter part of the season, you need to have all your weapons, you need to be playing your best football, everything needs to be just right because you're playing the best of the best. And Oregon went up against an Indiana team that was healthy, playing the best of their best, playing great football. They're the best football team in America this year, and they showed that. I wish we could have seen Oregon play, you know, with all of the guys that made it happen all year long, not having a healthy running back room. Really,
oh, yeah.
You know, it took away some things Oregon could have done. Would it have changed the game? Who knows? Not fair to say that, but you know, you play with who you got, and there are more than just two or three guys on a team to make a difference. There's a lot of guys, but I think we felt going into that game being down some key numbers that we were going to have to play a perfect game and that Indiana was going to have to make some mistakes. They're too good of a team. They do not make mistakes. They're one of the best teams in the nation and not beating themselves. And if you beat yourselves with a few mistakes, you help them win a game. And that's the kind of way that semifinal game went. But still, to be there, I mean, to be there again was pretty impressive.
From a broadcaster's standpoint, you are the eyes and ears for those that can't be there, that many times turn down the TV and listen to you. There's a little gap there, but that's okay. What was it like for you in all of the years you've done this? You've done a national title game. You've been to the semis. You've been a lot of places. This seemed to feel like almost a national title game when they went into it, although it was not, to me.
Yeah, it did. I mean, it was electric. When I opened that broadcast from the Peach Bowl, I was juiced. I had goosebumps, and it was like it was two things. It was a chance to play in the national championship game against maybe one of Oregon's former coaches in Mario Cristobal, but it was a chance to beat the team that had already beaten you once and that was number one in the nation, had the Heisman Trophy winner, and that if you could take this team down, it was everything. And we had that feeling going in. We knew Oregon was good enough. At a quarterback that we didn't know what he was going to stay or go to the NFL because Dante was predicted to be one of the top two quarterbacks taken in the NFL draft. So you knew you had the talent on the field, and you knew that if you could play really solid, good football, without making mistakes, mistake-free football, that you had a chance in this game to make the big move. And we felt that going in. It was exciting when it started. Now, that feeling snapped down really quickly on that first offensive play when Dante threw that pick six. But the Ducks rolled right back and scored a touchdown on a long drive and went, okay, here we go again. But then too many miscues after that really were the difference.
Jerry Allen, the voice of the Ducks with us here on the Sports Ticket today. And I think that probably nationally, depending on what size of the ball you were on for who you were rooting for, that was like, oh, no, that can't happen. That had to have been just somebody misreading something. But like you said, they turned it into lemonade a little bit later and scored. They came right back. They didn't have their heads hanging low. They said, oops, well, let's get it back. That's how it felt.
Yeah, that's a well-coached and great leadership team. They didn't fold. They didn't go, oh, no. They went, oh, boy, here we are. We have a chance again. And so felt pretty good at that point. But then another fumble deep, you know, when the ball got knocked out of Dante's hand. Mm. Just things kept happening that took away Oregon's opportunity. Some of them self-inflicted, and then let's give credit to Indiana. Some of them because of what Indiana did. That's a great football team. Fernando Mendoza is a great quarterback. I mean, we saw the best of the best in that ball game.
Yeah.
And again, when you do that, you can't make mistakes. You can't turn the ball over if they don't turn it over, which they do not do. So as those little mistakes started to build, you could kind of feel that the momentum was swinging. And I'll tell you what, that crowd was 90% Indiana, 10% Oregon.
A lot of
not
red.
Not that Oregon fans could not travel. It's just a long way when you just got back from Miami in a quarterfinal game to have to fly all the way out to Atlanta and then hope you're going to get to go to a national championship game. It just wasn't that easy to do. So it was a definitive Indiana home crowd.
Jerry, you talked about Dante, of course, so I'm so happy to know that, which I thought he would do, come back similar to Bo Nix and say, let's give it one more year. Let's make that run again. We've got the tools. I want to be part of it. Already strategically, they brought in another quarterback from Nebraska who has to sit because he still is actually recovering a little bit from a leg injury. But then you've got a guy who I thought was going to go, and I'm going to get Ungalele. I want to make sure I get it right. Mateo?
Mateo Uyunglele.
Yeah, and this is a young man I thought that he'd be a first-round pick, I think. But he's going to stick around. He wants to lead that defense and get back to that finals if he can. There are other players that are sticking around. What about next year? What do you see as the strengths with returnees at least?
Well, it's going to be huge to get those rush ends back. Uyunglele and Tatum to Yodi. That's the other end. I mean, Tatum was good enough to be drafted this year. We were hoping that he would not go. He's 6'3", 270, right around there. Led the team in sacks this year with 9.5. He's just that good. And what a bookend matchup with Mateo and Tatum. So they're both going to be back. Keon Gray, Amari Washington, Bear Alexander's coming back. I mean, so you've got a front defensive front coming back with experience, and that's one huge thing that Indiana had. They had so much experience that they were really, I think somebody mentioned that their average age of their team was close to the average age of some of the NFL teams out there. So that's experience. That's what Oregon's got coming back. Going to miss Bryce Betcher. I mean, that hurts.
Oh, yeah.
He's such a team leader out there. But Brandon Finney Jr., as a freshman, started. I mean, that's just huge. Iffy, Obidegu, you're talking about guys that have got experience and will add depth with the guys who, you know, didn't play a lot. Freshmen that didn't play, and the transfers and new freshmen coming in. The way Dan Lanning recruits has put Oregon into the top five in this class coming in again.
Jerry Allen with us here on the Sports Ticket. So how do you keep them down on the farm, Jerry? You know, a lot of people left. I can only speak to Oregon State. They lost 35. They're going to get 21. That's not the Ducks, but my point is it's always a struggle. Yet the Ducks seem to be strong in maintaining consistency and keeping good players or attracting good ones.
Yeah, you don't see starters leaving, which some programs do, or even guys who are backups and got significant time. They just who don't think they're going to get a chance to compete enough. I think that's a credit to the culture that Dan Lanning has built and his staff has built. And then look around the University of Oregon Athletic Department, the facilities, and then jump across the river to the campus and everything they have. I mean, this is a school that is much sought after because it's cutting edge in everything they do. Research, I mean, the new facility they're building for football, Mo's already there going to add to that with the practice fields outside. And it's just when you bring a player in, a high school or a junior college or a player that has entered the transfer portal and he wants to come look at your school, it's like looking at a new car. It's got all the bells and whistles. And it's got everything you need to be able to be the fastest in the world. So it's an easy place for kids to come to, and it's an easy place for kids to stay. And I think it all goes back to, I'm going to talk about Uncle Phil yeah. Knight, and Pat Kilkenny, the major donors, and then the thousands of donors that have contributed to put Oregon where they are, and the fans, and the coaching staff that just is so respected by not only other coaches across the nation, but by a lot of kids and players who watch Dan Lanning and watch what he does on ESPN and whatever social media they might be on. I mean, Oregon stands out.
Yes, they do. I was going to say they also bring back some seasoned veterans with that duck that goes up on television with the signs in behind the crews that do broadcast there from College Game Day. And there's this guy on the radio that's been around over 35 years that I think people love listening to as well and see how excited he can get. And, Jerry, that's you, and you and Jorgie. I tell you what, there is a good package there that brings everything from the media to the coaching staff to what, like you said, facilities and offerings for student-athletes to come in and have a good time, a good educational experience and a sports experience.
Well, there's no negatives. Yeah, Mike, there's just no negatives to the Oregon program, to the University of Oregon, that I can see or that I feel or that I worry about. I mean, if you're in a job situation, you may look at somebody or some aspect of your job, your employer, or the people you work with and go, oh, wow, that's not comfortable. I don't like that. I wish they changed this. I don't have any of those feelings. I don't think fans do. I don't think anybody around the University of Oregon looks around and goes, this isn't right. That's got to be fixed. We need to do this. I don't want to make it sound too good to be true, Mike, but you know, Oregon's got it going. The university has got it going, and it's a great feeling. I mean, I look forward every day to what's coming up next. And you know, very few negatives. There just are not many negatives, and I'm to sound like Pollyanna here, but I love doing what I'm doing for a reason. It's fun because I'm around good people.
Yeah, and we're glad you're still doing it. Well, already ESPN has picked the Ducks, you know, now number 5. You know, they're going to be back, I'm sure, for the playoff polls next November. They've got a tough road games next year at Ohio State, at USC, and a couple of others as well. It's not going to be an easy road, but it's going to be a little easier when you return much of their starting lineup on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I tell you what, getting Iapondi Lalulu come back and Jamar Johnson, a big tight end, Kenyon Sadiq's going to go to the NFL, deserves to. Mm-hmm. He's going to be one of the top picks at that position. Ducks have receivers, Nickorian Moore. You're looking at D.R. Hill, Jordan Davison. Mm-hmm. There's bodies there. It's going to be an impressive team that is already together, and by the time they open fall camp, well, let's say spring football. Spring football, you're going to see new names. You're going to see some new transfers. And Oregon is predicted to be in the top 5 again for a reason. People who understand college football, athletes and coaches, get where Oregon is and realize that they're not going anywhere, staying where they are, if not moving up.
Well, it sounds like you're getting ready to go out on the rubber chicken circuit with all those great things to pass along, and I don't know if you are or not. But, Jerry, we certainly have appreciated listening to you, Jorgie, and the whole team all season long and being associated with you as one little affiliate from down the highway from you. But you're always available. You're always just a good friend of the broadcast, and we just always can't wait just to turn on the radio and hear you guys put it together and bring us the excitement of the game. My friend, thank you so much.
Mike, we're blessed to be doing it. I mean, we do what we do because we have great players to talk about, fans to talk to, and affiliates like you who, you know, welcome us and let us be there. I mean, we don't have a job unless we've got you to help us. And believe me, being in the business as long as I have and managing radio stations and being a mm-hmm. disc jockey and being a sports anchor on radio and TV, I understand how important you guys are to what we do, and we love you.
Oh, thank you. We love you, too. Jerry, all the best to you and the fellas, and tell Joey it still owes me lunch. And then we will talk, hopefully, down the road. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for making this season what it was, a successful season right up until the end, all the way through.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate you having me on.
You betcha. Jerry Allen, the voice of the Oregon Ducks here on the Sports Ticket. Thanks, Jerry, for coming along. And we'll be right back more with Hunter and that other guy coming here on the Sports Ticket on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter on 1430 KYKN.
Hey, here we are. Hope you enjoyed that little interview with Mike and Jerry Allen. I love that guy. Jerry Allen is, actually, I love both those guys.
Yeah.
They're both really stinking cool. They got a lot of experience in broadcasting, and there's a lot of passion there, and it's just fun to listen to. So, good dudes.
All I can say is at this point, spring game can't come soon enough.
Yeah, for Jerry, he's all fired up. Oh, by the way, I think Joel Klatt said the Ducks were going to be number one. That's his, like, way too early top 10, and the Ducks were number one in his book, and I think that's ridiculous. So, anyways, they got to prove themselves. So there's a lot to prove. Well, Dante Moore has a ton to prove.
And I sit here and I go, I think what they finished within the top 5 in final rankings, like they really mean anything beyond who won the championship. But with the quarterback changes from the two teams that played in the championship game, I think it opens the door because Dante Moore is coming back.
He is, and we'll, I hope he plays. He played great. I mean, don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. but if he's got any pressure on him whatsoever, it's not happening. He's just going to get flustered, and Indiana had his number. There's no doubt about that. Oh, yeah. And Dan Lanning, I mean, he's got to figure out. He loses to the top teams twice.
Twice a season,
except for Ohio, at least he got by Ohio State last year once.
Yeah, but. Well, I mean, you really go look at it. They lost twice to the Huskies a couple years ago. They lost to Ohio State last year, and they lost to Indiana twice this year. So the only losses they have had in 3 years have been to teams that played in the national championship game.
Isn't that amazing? I guess if you're going to lose to them, that's the key. Okay.
Well, that would be one reason to put them as an early preseason number one.
There you go. All right. Hey, this Sam being brought to you by Bowenvine Burger Bar down there on South Commercial next to Northern Lights Theater Pub. It's always good. Burger and a movie. You got to love that.
Oh, yeah. Well, now that we've wrapped up college football season, we got 3 games left in the NFL season.
This is fun. This is exciting. And, you know, last week we had a lot of great games. Caleb Williams, my gosh. I mean, that last touchdown that he threw in the corner, I mean, it seemed like he was falling off of his back foot, threw it up for grabs, and they're saying, ah, maybe a little push off. I can't remember who caught the ball, but my gosh, what a stinking play. The kid's an athlete.
Well, I thought the Bears were going to win this game, especially when it went into overtime, because they had the ball first. They were driving, and one simple mistake flipped the whole thing over, and the Rams ended up winning the game.
Well, you know, either team was going to come to Seattle, and Seattle took care of stinking business against Frisco. Holy cow, man. Absolutely just dismantling that team.
Yeah. And, you know, we can sit here and say San Francisco dealing with injuries, yada, yada. But, yeah, that they were very overmatched coming to Seattle.
You know, the crazy thing was, I mean, Seattle just went down, I think it was the last game of the season, to get the outright, you know,
yeah,
championship.
The number one seed.
And what was that, a 13-3 win for the Seahawks?
Yeah.
It was
a dominating victory.
It was, but Purdy just didn't have it. I mean, McCaffrey, I mean, he's been banged up all year for his running back, and they just, and Kittle. Kittle went out. He blew up his Achilles that game. So, yeah, they were definitely down men. So, Seattle, good for them. Yeah. I mean, they took it to him and got a great game.
So, yeah, so tomorrow, of course, the NFC Conference Championship game on Sunday, not tomorrow, Rams and Seahawks for the third time this year. I think the Seahawks have the advantage, especially playing at home. But if you look at the way these two teams play, and the Rams have that Seahawk number, traveling up from L.A., they seem like they're not as phased as other teams coming to Seattle. They beat the Seahawks by 2 points, I believe, in L.A. earlier this year, and lost in overtime by 1 point to the Seahawks. So, you know, this is going to be probably the much more challenging game because of some issues the AFC is having right now.
Well, I don't know. I like the Seahawks defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now they are playing so good.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of people are predicting this game will probably be a closer matchup than the Super Bowl will be.
Well,
because one of these two teams is going to have a nice advantage going to Super Bowl, because the AFC, unfortunately, their stronger teams fell off last week. The Denver Broncos topped the Buffalo Bills, leading to McDermott's firing 33-30 in overtime. But the big news coming out is Bo Nix got hurt in that overtime period, and he is done for the year.
You know, that was so weird, Hunter, because, I mean, at the end of the game, he was talking to, you know, the sideline report. I can't remember who it was. But he was smiling. Everything was fine. It's like, did he not? Did he go into the tent and get a cortisone shot? I mean, it's just like it didn't even faze
him.
Well,
from my understanding, it was either the second or third play to the final play of the game. So his adrenaline's flowing, and it was a broken bone in the foot where you've just played for 60-plus minutes of football. Your adrenaline's going. You just won the biggest game of your career. I can understand why he probably wasn't feeling all that bad at that point, but I'm guessing that he got to the locker room and the foot started to swell and some pain. Off to the doctors. Once everything's calmed down a little bit, they realize the extent of the injury. And that's why Stidham, I believe, is the guy who's taken over for him, which puts them as a bit of an underdog facing Drake May and the New England Patriots.
Yeah, I think they're 4.5-point dogs. They're playing at Mile High. And you know what? May is a really good quarterback for the Patriots. I really just think the Patriots are at full level.
Yep.
And you can't have a backup quarterback coming into the championship game and thinking that you're going to win. It's just that is such a tall task. I just don't see it. The experience that you need, he's going to get flustered. Stuff's going to happen. I could see turnovers that are really going to help the Patriots in this category. So I'm thinking the Patriots are going to win this game.
Yeah, I think the Patriots have a distinct advantage. Their team's all coming in full health. I think you were most likely looking at the Patriots moving on to the Super Bowl.
Where is the Super Bowl, by the way?
I believe it's going to be in San Francisco.
It is. It's in Santa Clara. You're absolutely right. So we'll see what the weather, if the weather holds there. Sometimes February is not too kind in San Francisco, so it could be nasty.
Yeah, well, and I go, whether the Seahawks or the Rams win this game for the NFC, I think they're holding advantage. One, they're playing close to home. New England or even Denver has to travel a significant longer distance. And I just see from watching this season progress, these two teams in the NFC are looking much better than their AFC counterparts.
I agree with you 100%. The Seahawks-Rams, that's going to be a phenomenal football game. And I can't wait to watch that one. What time does that come on Sunday?
That is 3:30 local time.
Okay. So is Denver the late game?
No, Denver's the early game. They play
at
noon.
Okay. Yeah, and that makes sense because then it's like, what, 2 o'clock there for kickoff time? And, yeah, it gets cold. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the weather's going to be. It's not going to be warm.
See, here's the thing. Is the temperature I don't think is going to be a big factor because it's not like New England isn't cold this time of year as well. It's going to be the elevation is the one advantage that the Broncos will maintain.
We'll
they're
see if
used
it happens.
To that be playing in that elevation.
That's true. We'll see if that has an effect, and really that would be in the fourth quarter. I don't know. The quarterback, he might – Stidham, is that his name?
Uh-huh.
He may shock everybody.
Yeah.
He may take over for Bo Nix next year. I mean, we don't know if he has the game of his life.
Well, he's been around the league for a few years. So he's got the experience being around the league. He started before but hasn't started, obviously, this year because mm-hmm. Nix has been there. So
never know. I mean, these guys are all good. But
there's a reason they're in
from the outside looking in, it sure doesn't look like it's positive for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm looking forward. It's going to be a fun Sunday of football. And then, of course, a couple weeks after that, we get the Super Bowl in all the commercials that come with it.
And that'll be halftime show. Yeah, that'll be what? Is that 3:30?
I think so.
There's a lot of hoopla starting at like 8 a.m.
Yeah, the pregame show starts at 8.
Unbelievable. All right, we're going to get out to our, I guess it's not our final one. We have a final.
Yeah.
Later. So this is final. The next one will be final. Sports Ticket right here on 1430 KYKN.
The Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor with Jeff and Hunter, continues on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to the Sports Ticket. Yes, I know, it's after 6 o'clock, but you know what, Hunter?
It's bonus. Bonus
this
coverage.
Is bonus Sports Ticket time.
That's right.
Brought to you by Auto Team Service Center, a better way to maintain your car right down there on the blown-up street of McGillicuddy. Still, it's kind of weird. You got to be careful down there. If you're coming off of 25th and turning west onto McGillicuddy, it looks like traffic's going to be coming at you, but it really is just two-lane traffic, so just be careful. I did that yesterday. I'm like, man, it kind of tripped me out a little bit. I was like, man, am I going to get in a wreck right now? It's just like, Anyways, there you go.
Trying to take my car to the shop for a tune-up. I don't need the body work done.
Exactly.
All right.
Save me.
Yeah, you get this bonus coverage of Jeff and me because right now, and of course we get this through all of January with high school basketball game of the week's happening on Fridays. Our own Charlie McGuire is over there at McNary High School getting ready for the McNary girls taking on the South Salem Saxon Lady Saxons.
It's fun, Hunter. I mean, I think it's good. I mean, typically everybody focuses just on the boys, but, you know, the girls have some really good teams, and it's fun just to get, you know, perspective. And Charlie does a phenomenal job, too.
Well,
just,
yeah, yeah. He does great. I'll tell you what. My oldest two kids, one boy, one girl, they played basketball at the same time for a number of years together. And there was a different level of intensity watching the girls play compared to the boys. Girls are emotionally driven. So there was a lot more emotion on the court. You could feel it compared to the boys where you get different skill levels with boys. And, you know, the kids that have the higher skill levels kind of take over the game. And there's a machismo about it. But the girls, there is more emotion in these games. And they are very, very entertaining because we have some stellar basketball players.
You know, I think there's a lot more scratching and clawing, you know, in those girls' games for whatever reason. I think the cat comes out and, you know, they get competitive. They get very competitive. I mean, they're into it and it's fun.
And I sit here and I go, you know, you watch the two in comparison and the boys will get physical, but when the boys are getting physical, they're kind of, it's a back and forth. And girls, when they get physical, it gets physical. And you can see the emotion and the anger kind of come out a little bit. And it is. They're two different animals, and they're both really, really fun.
No, that's cool. I'm glad that we're doing this, too. I think we've got another girls' game next Friday as well.
Yeah,
so.
Next Friday, it's Sprague High School, South Salem again. This South Salem girls' team is very, very good.
Should be good. So, yeah, if you're anywhere near, I mean, go to McNary and check this out. It should be fairly competitive.
Yeah, so you get bonus time with us because of all of this. We'll turn it over to Charlie about 6:15 for a little pregame show and tip-off starting at 6:30. So...
Yeah. It's coming up quick.
Yep.
I think we need to take our final break.
Our final.
Okay, Sports Ticket right here on 1430 KYKN. We'll be back right after this.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to the Sports Ticket. This is going to be a fairly quick one brought to you by Capital Toyota, one of our main sponsors of a lot of things. So we appreciate the Case Beers and all they do to support KYKN. Thank you, guys.
Yes, and of course, before we turn this thing over to Charlie McGuire at McNary High School for the South Salem against McNary girls basketball game, we could also talk a little other programming kind of notes. On Sunday, the Oregon Ducks men basketball team will be broadcasting that game. They play at the University of Washington. Our pregame show at 11:30 on Sunday morning and tip-off at noon. And then, of course, a week from now, there's a big sportsman show happening here in the Valley.
Yeah, down at the Expo Center in Albany. It's the Willamette Valley Sportsman Show. That's what it is. And they've got fishing down there for the kids. It's always a fun event. Lots of stuff going on down there. Lots of prizes given away. So cruise on down there. It's great to go with the kids. I might even show up. You never know.
I've got a special deal for some people that want to go down there. We do have a small stack, I believe about 20, maybe 25 tickets. So free entry. If you are in the mood to head on down there, swing on by our offices next week during our business hours. Best times are kind of between about 11 a.m. and 1 p.m., maybe 2 p.m. when everybody's in the office. Pick up a couple of free tickets. We'll be happy to oblige.
What are you saying? We have a skeleton crew at KYKN?
Well, you know, we all wear a lot of different hats around here, Jeff. So there's a lot of running around
at
times.
Funny. No, I know. It's the way it is.
That's right. And of course, you know, our favorite Half-Price Oregon, you could always go on there, maybe get a Bowen Vine or a Turner Pizza gift card and grab some food on your way down south for the Sportsman Show.
Absolutely. There's always good stuff on Half Price Oregon, so always pay attention because new things are always happening. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff. All right, Hunter. Well, hey, we're going to give it off to Charlie McGuire live out there at McNary High School for the girls' team taking on South Salem. It's going to be fun. So have a great weekend, everybody. Be well, be safe, especially be prepared. We'll see you next week.
This has been the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter every Friday at 5 p.m. on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.